Well, good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to this seminar. I hope it's the one that you were looking for. This is the one on bivocational church leadership. I am your host, Joanna, and I'm delighted this afternoon to be joined by Mohan, by Kate, and by Sarah. Just a few housekeeping things before we set off. This session is going to be recorded this afternoon. The only people on the recording will be me and our panelists and speaker. And over the afternoon, all of them are going to be recorded and you'll be able to access them on the digital platform on ccx.media. Also, if you ask a question and you post a question, that question won't be visible to everybody on the recording. And we'll just use first names when we're talking about questions. So in all of that, don't worry on that. If you want to ask a question, and we really hope you will this afternoon, then do put that in the question box. If somebody else has asked the question that you wanted to ask, then do like it because that upvotes it and we'll make sure that we get to those questions this afternoon. If you've got something to say, if you want to make a comment, then put that in the chat. Or if you want to point people to something, a resource that you found really useful, then do add that into the chat as well. With me this afternoon for this seminar is Mohan Sivaratne, who is a GP and leads a church plant. So we're really excited to hear what Mohan has got to say to us this afternoon. And then Kate, who's working away down south, is going to share as part of our panel. Kate works within a learning support team in a school and also helps to lead on her church. And we'll hear more from each of them a bit later about their roles. And then Sarah, who is a stipendiary licensed lay minister and a pioneer, will also be contributing. Thank you all for giving of time this afternoon. And so I'm going to hand over to Mohan to share with us. Thanks for being with us, Mohan.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you for the welcome. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Yeah, as Joanna said, my name is Mohan Sivaratnam, and I work as a GP and as a church planter where I lead a church called Mosaic, which is an intentionally intercultural church plant. And I'm based in Harrow, northwest London. And I was ordained as a self-supporting minister in the Church of England in 2015. And I currently work 3 days a week as a GP and 2 days a week as a church planter. But as we think about the term bivocational, in itself is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because we all probably have different vocations and callings on our life that we probably don't necessarily call as vocation. We may be called to be single. We may be called to be a parent or a carer or a student, and all these things also take sort of different callings on our life. But today, I think we're particularly using the word bivocational in the context of both having a calling to work in secular employment and at the same time in church leadership and ministry. And some people will fully fund themselves in church ministry. And others will be sort of part funded in some way. So as we look at the Bible and the church's history, you know, there are different models of church leadership that have been given to us. If you look at that full-time role, if we think about Jesus' call, particularly to the first disciples, that we to leave their nets and to follow him. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 says, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, and for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him." But as well as that full-time model, we've got a bivocational model. The Apostle Paul, it says, who worked hard day and night in his tent-making role to support himself and the work of the gospel. Acts 18 says, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So here we see Paul and Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. So bivocational church leadership is not a new model. We see it there in biblical times. And also before the church became institutionalized under Emperor Constantine, you know, bivocational ministry was fairly commonplace. In the early church fathers in their writings refer to bishops and priests also as being shepherds and farmers and linen weavers. So we could say that bivocational church leadership has been a neglected and overlooked model in the church in recent years. That said, we also know that there are many missionaries today in places like China and the Middle East and difficult to access areas that often have a tent making role for visa purposes to stay in the country that they want to minister in. But are bivocational leaders needed? Maybe that you're asking that question. Surely it's better to work, inverted commas, full time. Well, I think there are probably two current reasons why more bivocational leaders are needed today. I think one is financial and the other is missional. So financial, I think our current church ministerial model, not only in the Church of England, but in other denominations, is one many people are saying is financially unsustainable. For various reasons, the church as a whole is probably going to be less wealthy in years to come. And there's a need for more bivocational leaders. The other reason is a missional reason. The spiritual harvest, which Bishop Rick referred to in the morning before us, necessitates new models of church and church leadership. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the workers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into the harvest field. So this afternoon, I just want to look at this topic of bivocational ministry really in four parts. The pros or the positives of bivocational ministry, the cons or negatives, the challenges and the opportunities. So looking at the pros and positives, well, I think firstly, I think bivocational ministry helps to dispel this whole idea of clergy and laity divide, you know, and gives a good model of priesthood. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, speaking of all Christians, you are also like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Bishop Graham, again, in the morning said, well, part of our role in the church is to be priests to the world. And, you know, the fivefold ministries that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4 are not just given, I believe, to full-time leaders, where it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. Another positive of bivocational ministry, I think it offers a church a model of whole life discipleship. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23. And Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then talking about slaves working for their masters, Paul says, whatever you do, whether work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. And I think by being a bivocational leader, we help to break the sacred secular divide. You know, is the work that we do outside of church ministry is it any less sacred or holy or important? Is our worship of God just limited to church life? So Brad Sisko prefers the term co-vocational rather than bivocation, because he describes one's whole life lived out in the praise of God and mission to the world, and regardless of our location. Also, the late John Stott, who was a rector of All Souls, whenever he was told by a young person that they wanted to go into the ministry, he would ask back, and exactly what ministry is that? Because as John Stott recognised, we're all called into ministry, but the workings of that are different. And we sometimes talk about the Missio Dei, that the mission of God, that isn't just in the church, is it? It's in the world. The kingdom of God is bigger than the church as an institution. The other thing that bivocational ministry offers is that it can offer better connections with our local community that we live in. You know, natural relationships are formed with people through our workplace. And we know that churches are no longer, are they, the heart of our communities as they used to be. And that we sometimes have to work harder to make those relational connections. And a church leader who also works outside of the church setting is given greater, I believe, missional opportunities. And it gives things like, we've heard of alpha courses in being run in work settings. And interestingly, we talk about even in the first century that we talk about the Apostle Paul and some of the church leaders, you know, driving forth as the gospel spread in the first century. But in many ways, it was those business people, those natural traders who took the gospel. They were the people who were sharing the gospel as in that first century as the church spread. Also, as a bivocational church leader, I think we have better empathy and understanding with other church members as we sort of combine the pressures of work and family and church life. And also with that is there's shared and transferable skills. So, for example, as a GP, I currently am part of a senior leadership team in our practice and help lead and manage a team of 25 people. And that's very similar to leading a church planting team. And I know Kate is a teacher, and she I'm sure will bring her teaching and educational skills and other skills to play, and as well as Sarah bring her skills from her lay pioneering role. We bring different skills from our different areas of living. Also, by necessity, I think a bivocational church leader should be better at recognizing and empowering and releasing gifts within the body of Christ, because they realize that, you know, we cannot do it all ourselves. Their time is more limited. And being bivocational also, I think, offers variety in life. Variety is the spice of life, as someone said, and variety in one's life and one's service for God. You know, any work or ministry can get boring, but by being bivocational, hopefully that's less likely. A bivocational leader also sits outside that main institutional church model. So I think perhaps it offers opportunities for greater flexibility and greater creativity in ministry as well. And bivocation also offers, I think, an opportunity to be a Christian voice in the workplace, whatever your calling area of secular employment, want a better word, to be salt and light. So for me as a doctor, you know, be speaking into issues such as abortion and euthanasia. But also, on the other hand, we can be a professional voice to the churches. So one thing I recently did, a short video with our local council, specifically focused on faith leaders and encouraging their faith communities to take up the COVID vaccine. And in it, I said that one of the ways we can love our neighbours and show care for them is to take the vaccine. Another thing, I think the whole bivocational setup offers a flexibility in the use of resources. So we've talked mainly about bivocational church leaders, but how about bivocational youth workers, bivocational children's workers, bivocational worship leaders and evangelists? So for our Mosaic church plant, we had some seed money and to help it start up. And so I'm using what part of that money is to do fund me for one day a week, but also part of it is to fund Jesse, who's our worship leader and works on social media and community coordinating. But what about some of the cons or negatives of bivocational ministry? Well, you work for two masters. Not that one is money and the other not, but by definition, bivocational means that you have two different calls on your life and two demanding and maybe sometimes competing and conflicting calls. And there's a challenge of boundaries, of danger of being overstretched. The danger of also being compared with full-time leaders and also trying to squeeze full-time expectations into a part-time role. And this can be both for the ministry, the church ministry, but for also the work outside of the church. The challenge of inadequate Sabbath rest and time for family and relaxation. Increased potential for stress. You know, you've got two spheres of work, more relationships to negotiate, doubles the potential of potential problems to arise. Potentially, there's possibly less financial security. Also, it is a relatively new concept as well, and the wider church and church authorities, congregational members, may not fully understand the role, so there can be differing expectations. And then there's less time availability for training, for pastoral care, for sermon preparation, for developing networks. And also on one level, it isn't an easily replicable model, only because each situation is different. You know, there are obviously some guiding principles. So what are some of the challenges? Well, I think we need to ensure there's good support network for bivocational leaders. And that can come from different sources, from family, from the mother church leaders, from spiritual director, church plant leadership team. The importance of the wider church, I think, seeing bivocational leaders as instrumental for the church's future mission, and to treat them as peers and a resource. And also, I think we need to be developing flexible church structures that are adaptable. You know, one size doesn't fit all, as Bishop Rick wants to say. You know, we are in a mixed ecology here, and we need to flex according to the training needs of the leader, the time availability, the financial situation, and the church plant context. And for the Church of England, certainly the traditional parish model with the vicarage needs to be rethought. And mainstream churches have too often only invested in training for full-time workers. And I think better training pathways need to be developed for whole church to see callings fulfilled and gifts flourishing. And not only bivocational leaders, but also many lay leaders as well. And the challenge also for the bivocational leader, we will also need to be facilitative and not an authoritative leader. They need to delegate well and be a team player. And it does take humility. Both secular and church aspirations will probably need to be reduced due to limited time availability for both areas of ministry. And that on one level, you won't be able to reach your full potential in either your church ministry or your secular work ministry. And I think a bivocational leader should be good at managing stress and have good resilience. And there's definitely, as I said, the potential for more pressure points. And a bivocational leader needs to be self-motivated in terms of training and learning, good at self-care, because they alone know their needs. Need to be learned to be good at saying no and to be good at asking for help. And also should be good at self-awareness, your personality, your strengths and your weaknesses, your stress points. And one can say this is true of all leaders, but I believe for bivocational leader, the necessity for this is greater. And bivocational leaders need to be concerned with the leadership development of their church team as well as their own leadership development. John Valentine has written a very good book on bivocational church ministry. Says the main focus of a bivocational church planter should be outreach and leadership development. And opportunities, what are the opportunities? Well, the opportunities for those, for example, who want to take early retirement and lead a church, for those who want to be a homemaker and care for children and lead a church. And we live in a time where there's far more flexibility in the workplace. People are no longer in the same job for life. There are many portfolio careers and people have opportunities to retrain in various ways and move around. And with all of this comes increased opportunity for bivocational church leaders to be trained and developed. And I think there are many gifted leaders in the church whose full potential in church ministry isn't realised because the only thing on offer has been full-time ministry. But let us look out for gifting first and foremost, look out for giftings and then have the conversations to see how people can fulfill their callings. So just to summarise at the end, I've enjoyed being a bivocational leader. I've offered flexibility and variety. I really enjoyed serving God in medicine and in church ministry. And I go back to that Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38, where Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. And I believe some of these workers should be bivocational church leaders and church planters. So if you think God might be calling you to this, pray about it. Wait on God. Speak to your minister, your church leader, a trusted friend. Important if you're married to speak to your spouse and family, as it will have implications for them. But thank you for listening.
Brilliant. Mohan, thank you so much for that huge kind of, you managed to squash into 15 minutes, an amazing amount there. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hand over to each of our panelists in turn, just to give their initial reactions to that. And then we'll open up for questions and conversation. But thank you. And Kate, great to have you with us. If you just let us know a little bit more about your context and your kind of initial reaction to some of what Mohan's been sharing with us.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here. So my name is Kate Gennardo. I'm married to Philip. We've got two grown-up daughters. And I've been in Christian ministry for about 30 years, and it's been pretty much bivocational, maybe 4 years full-time. I've started off doing sort of worship leading, youth, children, old people. And then as I've sort of progressed, I'm finally leading a church now. So 6 years ago, we planted Woodlands Metro out of Woodlands Main because it got too full. And we looked at the needs of the city. There's less than 1% of the students are in church in Bristol, and we have an enormous student population. It's about the same percentage of our young adults that are in church. So it's around about 1%, which is very low. So we thought, right, well, we'll plant a church and we will target students and young people, and we will plant right in the city centre, which is where they all live. So we planted 6 years ago. I became a bivocational LSA while we started the plant in order to support myself. So I work in a local secondary school. I've been there since we began Metro. I was 5 days a week when we started. It was absolutely exhausting. I love the job. I'm a qualified teacher, so it was a bit of a step down in terms of my career, but it's been a wonderful place to go. It's been a bit of an oasis, actually. I won't say one of the pros of bivocational ministry is it can provide a little bit of respite from the pressures and the hardship of ministry sometimes. So I've really enjoyed doing this job. I've now reduced my hours. I'm 2 days a week. And I'm doing a master's 1 day a week because that's my me time to invest. It's in theology, and I love that as well. So it's a very varied life, and I love the diversity. And I feel, and my first comment actually about what Mohan said about not feeling like you can realize your potential if you're a bivocational minister is actually, I would say, I feel like being bivocational allows me to reach my full potential because I have such an, you know, so many opportunities in school to do things that I couldn't do in church. And there are amazing opportunities that I get, you know, to connect the things that I really care about, you know, regarding injustice, things like education inequality, poverty, children who are born in deprivation. I get to be right in there in the centre of them. And I love that. I feel very fulfilled and able to, yeah, just fulfil every ministry potential there. So, but I loved your talk. There's almost nothing I can add to it. It was very comprehensive and brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks. That's great, Kate. And Sarah, how about you?
Ah, yes, I'm different in that I am stipendiary. I'm a lay person. I know people have been asking the question about, is bivocational leadership possible when you're lay? And I just want to say yes. So following on from Mohan's talk, I agree with so much. I think that bivocational leadership has absolutely been neglected in the way we think about it. And we need to think about more financially sustainable projects. I lead a very small community called Table in West Norfolk. It was a direct drop. It's kind of, you know, it was dropping me and kind of go create something, that kind of project. So the financial burden of trying to find enough money for me can very easily crush a community. So I think we need to think about more financially sustainable models. And leadership is not something, a special gift that you can only do. And I think it's really important that as we follow this, we start to think about this sweep and brush kind of metaphor again and think about what rules and regulations and what barriers are in the way to prevent people from coming up with more sustainable ways to do leadership. I think that we need to do wholesale change within the Church of England. That being said, bivocational leadership relies on a lot of flexibility, and that's what's come through again and again, is you've got to have flexibility. And I know that for many of my peers, there isn't flexibility. There is shift patterns and you have no say over them, or that you simply cannot afford to only work part-time. And that's the downside of bivocational leadership, is that we tend to get a disproportionate amount of affluent people in leadership, if that's our only model. And so why I completely and utterly support bivocational leadership, and we need to get more of it, it can't be the only answer. Because if this became the model per se, we're going to lose out on the richness of particularly young people, but also people from all sorts of walks of life for whom the flexibility required is not possible. Yeah, that's my first thought.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. There's so many different avenues that we could head off in our conversation. If you've got questions at this point, do make sure that you put them in to the question box, and we'll see how many we can get through in the next few minutes. But one that's come through, and I'll ask this to you, Mohan, first. Do you think that bivocational ministry puts a greater pressure on home and relationships? Do you think that that's true?
I think there is probably a truth in it. Yeah. But I think it's pressure is dependent on so many things, isn't it? It's about because we get pressure from all kinds of areas of life, you know, but I think having that support network is really important for any church leader. But I think it is probably, if I would say, it's probably more important for a bivocational leader, because the potential stresses for me are in my GP work and then with my church work, and that doubles. Maybe you kick the cat who's your family and that sort of stuff. So, but I think bivocational leaders need to have that whole thing about good self-awareness, good understanding of who they are, their own gifts, but also about the others around them and how they can be helped, that they're not an island. And so that goes both for the family who are around them, but also the other people who are joining you in the church plant and so on. You know, how best can the people around them support them in their ministry? Yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it's great. And would you add anything in that, Kate, in terms of key things that have helped you in that crazy balance of kind of lots of different aspects of life?
I think Philip and I, I think it was about 20 years ago, we decided, and this was another big sacrifice, but because we work weekends, we made it a rule that we would spend Wednesdays together. So he wouldn't work for church on Wednesdays. And so every job that I did part time, I didn't work on a Wednesday. And that made it quite restrictive for me, the kind of teaching jobs I could go for. Oops, do you mind if I don't work on a Wednesday? But it always seemed to work out that I could do a job that didn't, you know, require. And we would spend Wednesday together. And that has been the sort of saving grace of our marriage, because we needed to touch base. We needed to reconnect. And we used to say that we lived from Wednesday to Wednesday. We just, you know, we'd come up for breath on Wednesday and then go back in to the workplace. But that kept our marriage good. That kept our sort of Sabbath routine. But again, it's a privilege to be able to take those days off in the middle and be able to sort of call shots. It's not always been like that. When I started at Metro, I couldn't take Wednesdays off. They said, after you've done a year, we can negotiate. But yeah, keeping a Sabbath day was really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that in some ways emphasizes Sarah's point again of that, how do we enable people from all walks of life to be able to do this? And Sarah, do you think, as somebody else was saying, how privileged they feel to be able to do what they're doing and work part time? Do you think there are ways in which we can flex to enable more people from different places to fulfill different callings at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, this is part of a bigger conversation, isn't it, within the Church of England, where we know that disproportionately we're getting more middle class, more affluent people going for leadership in all sorts of ways, whether that's ordained, non-ordained. You know, so this is part of that bigger question of how do we actually open up the rooms to leadership and to support. I noticed in the comments, people are asking how can they, as stipendiary clergy, you know, support more people to do bivocational. I think it's come with an expectation that something you never thought would work might just work. And that sounds very easy to say, very hard to do. But I think it's about having an attitude of expecting God to do something in this day that you didn't think it was going to at the beginning of the day. Come and be creative, be prepared to be flexible and to think about what really matters and what doesn't. And if we can have this attitude that we kind of strip back or reconsider, is it important that we have someone available to do morning prayer every day? You know, if that was the case, then for instance, my husband, who works 25-hour shifts, that would not be possible. You know, some days he would, some days he wasn't. So I think we've got to really strip back and reconsider what we think the role is and what we think is important. And to be frank, we sometimes need to pay better. Sometimes, you know, we offer the house and don't pay very well. And then what that can mean is that small families are in these big houses that are really expensive to run. And so I'm very privileged to be in a house like this and I love it. But for some people, that's not the fiscally the smart option. If they were to do this part time, it would prevent them from being able to do that role.
Yeah. Do you, any, open to any, maybe Mohan first, somebody said, do you relate to the feeling of higher stakes in church ministry? And, you know, in terms of, and how you manage that sense?
Can you just unpack that a little bit? Sorry.
I think that sense of, I guess it's, again, it's part of that thing of how you balance the kind of different demands of the different aspects of life and the danger of actually the callings in those different places. And do you feel pulled, how you manage that?
Yeah, I think in terms of higher stakes, I think because you've got limited time, for example, the church plan, you felt what is really important. So I go back to what John Valentine said. Maybe I've been just reading that in terms of a church plant, leadership development and outreach, and lots of those should be important foci for us. And also when it comes to, I think you've got to say good is good enough as well. You know, because in terms of sermon preparation and we can always invest a lot, particularly with church work. You know, they can always do more. There's never going to be enough, as it were. And you've got to say, be prepared to say, actually, I've done my best and this is, leave it. And then like Kate said, I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to go for some exercise. I'm going to whatever. It's about doing some of those things. But I think I think there's also great, like I said, there really is that greater potential to bringing your learning. I love learning, I love my learning theologically. I love learning medically, and I love bringing what I'm learning in the workplace, not just medical things, but also about team management and so on, and all these other things, and cross fertilizing, as it were, and bringing all of yourself, well, hopefully all of myself to my medicine, but all of myself to my church work as well. Yeah. So I didn't really.
No, that's really helpful, Mohan. And I guess it'd be really helpful to hear from each person. A number of people have put in the questions, you know, how do we support more bivocational ministry? How do we grow this? How do we enable more people to feel this is a possibility? This is an option to think through what might be possible, rather than kind of simply, as you were saying, thinking I'm going to do ministry, it's got to be full time, actually seeing those different avenues for ministry. What would you say to that? Kate, do you want to go first, and then we'll go to Mohan and then Sarah?
Well, we're facing this year one of our core team who's been doing a theology degree for 3 years, and now he's got a grad scheme and it's taking him all over the country, but we want him on the core team. So he's very a big major part of our team. So we're now having to think really flexibly about when do we meet with him, because he's not even in Bristol for most of the week. He's going to be newly wed. I mean, the demands on him are huge, but we're just sort of putting in, when do we meet? How do we sort of factor in his lack of availability and include him still in the leadership and the direction of the ministry? And I think there's other issues. For me, I've never been able to be involved with the Monday morning trainings and the gathering. And I felt a little bit like, oh, that's a bit sad. I'm sort of excluded from that. But I've just come to terms with it, that I'm not involved in those times. But I think the team are really careful to keep me included, you know, keep me up in the communications. There's a continual stream of sort of texts that we sort of flurry around each other. So I think it's just being intentional about keeping communications really strong, about being flexible around meeting times and understanding, you know, one of our guys is taking a sabbatical. He works for Fair Share. And it's been very exhausting the last year. So we go, right, take a few months off. He's also getting married. But we have to realise the strains and stresses on the teams that are, you know, they're bivocational or working full time and doing leadership. So it's about being accommodating, understanding and allowing people to work flexibly.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kate. I'm aware of time is getting away from us. But Mohan, if you were to say kind of, you know, how to encourage this, what would you say?
I think just offering it as a model. I think, you know, when the call to, we've often had a call to church ministers as being full time, you know, full-time service, as it were. But having it, just regularly offering it as this is, you can be flexible. You can still continue whatever else God is calling you to. And still serve in the church and be trained in the church and so on. I think we need to have, I think as we are doing, like for example with our training colleges, they're not certainly the Anglican Church, not always residential, having you know more where you can travel as a day thing or now online stuff, but also having more things like I think that they're looking at doing the church planting course in the evenings for those people who work during the day. Or at weekends. So I think there's got to be a flexibility around the structures, but also an offer from church leaders, I think, yeah, have got to, I think, be encouraging them to look out for gifting and offering this as a possible way ahead to encourage church leadership, but while people feel called to other things as well.
Mm. Yeah. Great. Sarah. I think you want to add as we draw to a close.
Yeah, I guess you just put this as one of the answers. So I'm going to just be very quick. There's a new strap line within the Church of England coming out, which is simpler, bolder, humbler, or some version of that in different order. So be bolder when it comes to issues like permission to do something or licensing. Just be bolder on behalf of your people who are bivocational. You've got broad shoulders, whether you think it or not, use them. Be simpler when it comes to think about what the role is. You know, strip it back, think about what's really needed, what isn't. And be humble with your own understanding of what you think ministry is and should be. Be humble with that and accept that the person in front of you might have a different view and it might be a better one. So yeah, be bolder, be simpler, be humbler.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm aware that we haven't got through all the questions that are still coming in. There's lots of questions related to around, you know, that flexibility that's needed, both in training, both in our understanding of how we prepare people, but also that sense of how as communities we gather into communion and things like that. Lots of questions. But thank you for raising those questions and those conversations that will continue, I'm sure. So thank you to each one of you this afternoon. We're really grateful. Thank you to you who've joined us this afternoon. In a few minutes, we're going to take a short break. But then on this stream, the next seminar is going to be looking at women pioneers and planters. Women are underrepresented in the leadership stream of pioneers and planters. And so we're going to be hearing from three great women who were involved in planting, Sarah, Donald Hayden, and Bishop Jill Duff, and Andrea. So do join us if you want to, but equally you could jump over onto a different stream. There are 9 different streams of seminars, so do check those out this afternoon. But we're now going to have a very short break before those seminars start at 2:20. Thank you so much, each of you, for your contributions this afternoon and for joining us. Goodbye.